Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of altruistic motivation, we should all participate in this teaching. Over 2,500 years ago, Shakyamuni Buddha manifested in India, and he gave many teachings. Enlightened beings or Buddhas come to worlds in order to benefit sentient beings. In other words, enlightened beings, you know, their motivation to come to a world such as ours is in order to help, in order to benefit us sentient beings.
So the Sinji Tangji, Yungi the Deva Tang, Deva Tangji the Dimbi Che Tani, Kondus Pembris.
Their motivation is altruistic in that they wish all sentient beings to be free from suffering for good and to be endowed with lasting peace and happiness.
The
point I'm making here is this, that Buddhas come to our world with the altruistic motivation to benefit sentient beings in two different ways. Number one, they want sentient beings to be free from suffering. And number two, they want sentient beings to find lasting peace and happiness. Now, if you ask what methods or skillful means Buddhas provide beings to fulfill those two wishes, Buddha provides us pure and perfect teaching, which is called Dharma. And so by way of giving us a pure and perfect spiritual teaching, when we as individuals cultivate Buddha's teaching, which is called practicing Dharma, it is through this means or the method that we as individuals or sentient beings are able to free ourselves from the suffering of samsara or cyclical existence and find the kind of peace and happiness we are seeking. So what is universally known, if you will, is this, that Shakyamuni Buddha, a historical teacher, gave three main teachings, and these are called three turnings of the wheel of Dharma. From extensive point of view, Buddha taught as many as 84,000 forms of teaching or discourses. So Buddha gave so many teachings, but in terms of those who are suitable, if you will, to receive Buddha's teachings, we talk about three different types of listeners.
That kind of reason,
So in terms of those who are recipients or listeners to Buddha's teachings, there are three kinds. Number one, there are the Shravakas or the hearers. In other words, individuals who have Shravakas or the hearers' spiritual inclination or attitude. There are Pratika Buddhas or solitary realizers, individuals who have that kind of spiritual inclination or attitude. And then there are Mahayanists or the individuals with the spiritual inclination or attitude of greater vehicle Buddhism. So those are the three different types of recipients or the listeners of Buddha's teachings.
Well,
Buddha gave many teachings, and perhaps for regular people like us, all his teachings are too extensive to put into practice or to study them. Having said that, Buddha's teachings can be summarized in many different ways, and Buddha himself did that in a sutra. So let me quote Buddha's sutra and explain that to you.
So that the career is na tan dor dune dom dom du chen na tan ran so ko de chi na le tan pa so ko de chi de she ne ta de ba chi ya me ja kin si 대화 표수 초보 랑그 센 무슨 듣는 산이 땜방이스 아 다 딘디기 아닌도 치든 가르송에서나 두바께 마제빌레 마제 스타 두가 산 사기가 말했어 두바께 대화 표수 초보 주스 아니 대화 가시나 듣토에서 두브레스 간 아 여러분 아 두바께 아니 겁슨 아 겁슨 초 랑그 센 무슨 듣스 또 조디 Digo masa bata gawa do kapishib ti thol kari ta so chi kare sen rang sem den du kare tan de ni sanji ten ba yin sen de chona chole do tan ko do sin ni do du ni ta bu sung ba yin sen kan na
Summarizing his own teachings, Shakyamuni Buddha said in a sutra, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory. Buddha said, which is the Tibetan translation of what Buddha said, which in English means, never accumulate any negativity or negative karmic action. That means, always accumulate the wealth of virtue or positive karmic actions. Always accumulate the wealth of positive karmic actions. Rang is simply also to. One should completely tame one's mind, subdue one's mind. Dine Sangye Dabayin. This is the teaching of Buddha. So basically, Buddha himself is telling us that, you know, we must not do anything that is negative, but we should, you know, make every effort to do that which is positive, and most importantly, we should try to discipline our mind, we should tame our own state of mind. Subduing our mind is the most important thing, and this in essence is the teaching of Buddha.
Then those and don't need that. It's not again to us. And let Tanguti, Buga came Majes, came Majes Kananaras, the Junse Kares, that the Alisan Tangu.
Now in these four lines, you know, Buddha gives us very profound messages, if you will. The first line reads, never accumulate or commit any negativity. Now why, you know, why he says that? What is the reason behind Buddha telling us, do not do anything negative.
That's the case, na. Maranzo gani that digba kandi ke sabi gina ya. Lu ta nga ta yich go ne. That digba kandi ke chijun kandi ke sabi gina ya. Ti na mi te yid mowa ke. Ta ran le jungu yar se.
Now the reason behind telling us not to do anything negative is this, that when we do a negative thing through our actions of body, speech and mind, if we do anything negative physically or say something negative or think negatively, these negative actions of ours will bring us unpleasant results. The kind of outcomes or the results that we do not want to experience, we won't like them.
Nana, sometimes that the nami id mowa se at karisana, rana mendu pinami jinjun karisana, dungeta, ne nasata, chain pacheta, and that rana mendu pirit samalo, or that rang megi santi, nami to rang kogu, sometimes the debatians and majis canabati, kichimichalvers.
So it's important for us to understand that if we do anything negative, it will bring us unpleasant results. So what do we mean by unpleasant result? Unpleasant result meaning that the kind of result that we do not want to experience. For example, negativities bring us a lot of suffering, which we don't want. Negativity brings us all kinds of sicknesses that we don't want. Negativity brings us obstacles in our life that we don't want. And negativity, as a matter of fact, brings misfortunes in our life, the bad things in our life. So because we don't want these things in our life, these are very unpleasant to us. So therefore, Buddha is advising us not to do anything negative. Next, Buddha tells us, always accumulate the wealth of virtue or positive actions. Now, why he says that is because positive actions bring us the kind of results which are very pleasant, which we like. For example, that we want to be happy. Happiness comes from positive actions. We want peace. Peace comes from positive actions. We want prosperity. We want success. And all the good things that we want in our life, they come from positive karmic actions. So therefore, Buddha advises us to accumulate or to do positive actions. Now, a question that we might raise here is, can one experience, or would one experience results of karmic actions that other people create and accumulate? The answer is that we do not experience the results of good and bad karmic actions that others create and accumulate. And you know, this is very true, no matter who the other person is. And the other person could be one's own very loving family members or parents, one's children, one's life partner, or one's best friend. If we do not participate in the actions, karmic actions that they do, we are not going to experience the results of their karmic actions. So the point I'm making here is that if others accumulate negative karmic actions, these others could be our parents, our children, our significant others, our best friends. If we do not participate in those karmic actions, we are not going to experience the negative results of others' negative karmic actions. For the same reason, if others are doing positive karmic actions, if we do not participate in those positive karmic actions, of course, we are not going to experience the positive results of others' positive karmic actions as well. The point to remember is, if we are involved in others' actions, positive or negative, then of course we are going to experience the positive and negative results of those karmic actions. But if we do not get involved in those actions, if we do not participate in those actions, then we are not going to experience the results of others' karmas.
Mm.
So in this regard, I would like to remind you that if a person says to Buddhas in his or her mind, or even says it loudly, that, "Oh Buddha, you are a very compassionate person, and please try to save me. You know, you are my refuge. I really can't do anything." And one really doesn't care, to stop negative karmic actions or to do positive karmic actions, but simply, ask Buddha to save one, that may not work at all. Because if one does not stop creating negative karmic actions and do positive karmic actions, simply asking Buddha to save us is not going to work. Buddha himself made it very clear in a sutra the way in which he can help our sentient beings. He said, "The only way I can help you is I show you the truth, what the reality is, and then you practice and you realize the truth of my teaching. Otherwise, I cannot help you in any way to be free from suffering or to find happiness." Buddha cannot do things for us. Buddha could only show us the way or the truth, and we need to adopt that way or the truth, and we have to realize the truth for ourselves. That is the way out of suffering. That is the way to happiness. So going back to the stanza I quoted, which summarizes Buddha, teaching in his own words, the first line said, "Never commit any negativity." Second line says, "Always accumulate the wealth of virtue or positive actions." Then the third line, which I said is the most important one, says, "Completely tame your mind, subdue your mind." Now that's really, really important. So it is really important again for us to understand why Buddha advises us to completely tame our mind, discipline our mind, or subdue our mind. That's the most important thing to do. Why? Because each of us has got these three things: body, speech, and mind. And these are the dimensions of our life. Of these three things, mind is the most important dimension of our life. It's the most important thing we have. Why? Because mind dictates pretty much what our body and speech you know, do. If our mind is in a positive state, then we may do positive actions physically and verbally. So that's how, when the mind is positive, it is likely that our actions of body and speech also become positive accordingly. On the other hand, if our mind is negative, then our actions of body and speech may also become negative, because mind motivates us into actions, and mind influences, you know, actions of body and speech. So it is in this sense that mind is the most important thing, and it is the master that orders things to do to the body and speech. It is said, you know, that yin is so shingonato. Mind is the primary factor, and it always goes first. So what it means is, first we think, generally speaking, or something pops up in our mind, and then we do it. We might say something, or we might act out physically. And so mind is the forerunner of our actions. And so in that sense, mind is the master, and body and speech are like the servants of the master. So the point I'm making here is, generally speaking, that you know, first we think and then we act. Or, you know, something pops up in our mind, and then we might follow that in actions physically and verbally. Of course, there are exceptional cases. Probably you might bring up issues like, you know, what happens when I run into accident that I didn't, you know, plan to do it? You know, I wasn't thinking of running into accident, but I have an accident here. Well, yes, there are cases like that, but those are very rare exceptional cases. But overall, you know, first things pop up in the mind, and then we follow them through actions of body and speech.
And the kitchen was so that Ali Chanson is the big in him, those things. When so good, the village, so good, he's so good, you know, so good, and somebody will come. Then in any Kalkiata, any Luke Yongusia, then the Rogu was.
Now let me give you an example to illustrate my point, how mind first plans it all out. Let's say in the case of killing, which is a very serious negative karmic action, you know, first one, you know, develops the intention to kill. Okay, I want to kill someone, okay? So it pops up in the mind. And then one plans it out. Okay, how am I going to do that? Maybe I'm going to talk with some friends, you know, how to kill, you know, someone. So your speech is involved, you know, just communicating with someone how to kill or learn about killing. And then we put the body into action. Now we, you know, move to different locations or whatever the things we need to do in order to carry out this, you know, intention to kill. So this is how the mind runs the whole show, that we develop the intention or the motivation to kill, then we plan it out, then we use the speech to talk with others, or, you know, and then we use the body to carry out
the action.
So this is, the same with other negative actions that we may find ourselves involved. It could be stealing, lying, deceiving people, indulging in sexual misconduct. So first, you know, things pop in the mind, and then the idea or what happens in the mind is carried out in action, you know, verbally and physically.
Now
what I'm telling you, how mind runs the whole show, or is important, is more important than body and speech, is true in the case of positive karmic actions as well. When we do positive actions, you know, we often talk about the need to think positively, right? We want to generate positive motivation. So then with that positive motivation, now we engage in positive actions such as, you know, offering respect to Buddhas or prostrating before Buddhas or enlightened beings or making offerings or cultivating faith in Buddhas. So the mind is again plays a very important role here, is a forerunner. It goes before all our practices.
So that gejo khandi ji geva susu geva lunga kita si geva khandi ji dubi yene che khandi ji shewe na kuno de ngaba de hun tang ko.
So the point I'm trying to make here is it doesn't matter what kind of practice we do, maybe very basic practice or maybe very advanced practice, or in which case we have to use our speech and body to do our practice, but the first thing first, we must cultivate pure motivation
and proper motivation.
As it is emphasized in the Lojong practice or mind training or thought transforming practice, and the statement reads, there are two important actions, one at the beginning and one at the end. Now the question is, what are they? The important action at the beginning refers to cultivating proper motivation. That's where it all begins. When we do our practice or positive actions, we must cultivate positive motivation. And then we engage in whatever the action is or the practice is. And at the end of our practice, we should conclude our practice with proper dedication. So dedication is the other important action at the end. And so that's, you know, goes with every practice we do, small or big practice. And in other words, we often talk about, three things with regard to our practice. There is the jorwa, which is the preliminary, which primarily includes cultivating proper motivation. Then there is the actual practice, which happens in the middle. And then there is the conclusion, which happens at the end. And that conclusion, the most important thing, is proper dedication of our merit. See? So that completes our practice of action.
So ndor dhibi yina ta yung sengi yin la ane nesi pamba ta yin la pimpa dhruva nyi jnang dhigo dhoas.
So if we bring all the things that I'm talking about or all our practices into like two simple statements, that is not harming others but helping others.
Ta never mashiba sene debale never shake me never sene yen nugri sambi sambi tone never she the carving in a deep pinching with them.
So instead of simply not hurting or harming others and without thinking about, okay, I do not want to harm others, without necessarily having that motivation, if we just simply don't hurt others, well, that's pretty good. But if we really cultivate the motivation and commit ourselves that I do not want to hurt anybody, then our really commitment, or how should I say, our action of not harming others become even more stronger, powerful, because of the power of motivation and commitment. And for the same reasons, let's say if we help others without necessarily having any motivation to benefit, that's good, we're helping others. But if we help others with altruistic motivation, that by the power of whatever this little help I'm giving to others, may it become a cause for me to become an enlightened being for the benefit of all other sentient beings, that help we give to others, now it becomes extremely powerful, practice and an action.
From the time you thought in a jar much of the fine and you are and then Sinti Yen, Rani Yen, the Sinti Yen to Samalo, Lakadi Chambuch Chagas, the Yimati, that's some Congress.
As His Holiness the Dalai Lama often reminds us that we must reflect on how all sentient beings have been very kind to us. So we need to really feel gratitude to sentient beings for their kindnesses. Conventionally speaking, we do something bad to someone who has been kind to us, how unbecoming, it is for us to do that. People will say, like, how ungrateful you are. That person has been so kind to you, but you turn out to be a very ungrateful person, Now, if you really think very deeply how sentient beings have been very kind to us, now, it's the same thing here. If we hurt them or we do something bad to them, it is like we are showing our ungratefulness to sentient beings. They have been so kind to us, but now we are returning their kindness with harms. And that is very improper and unbecoming on our part.
I don't kiss it anything though.
So sometimes when we lose our temper, or when delusions really pop up strongly in our mind, we hear either ourselves or people say, well, I don't care about this whole thing, and maybe to make it stronger, I think this is appropriate to say, I don't give a damn to it. Well, that is really not a good thing to say, and we are wrong in saying that and thinking that way, because what we really need to do is we need to learn to respect and cherish other sentient beings. They have been very kind to us, others including all our enemies as well, because they have not always been our enemies. So if sentient beings are need to be cherished, so how dare can we say, I don't care? You know, what does it mean, you know? You know, if we don't care about the beings that we really need to care, so I mean, how does it sound? So we must not even get into the habit of saying such things, let alone thinking about, I don't care.
And then
the last line of Buddha's summary statement is, this is the teaching of the Buddha. Completely tame your mind, subdue one's mind, this is the teaching of Buddha. What he meant by that is, so this is my advice to you. So you can think about it, and if it all makes sense, take my advice, you know. And so if you do that, you might be able to benefit, you know, others very much.
So I
thought it would be nice to share this, ideas today, as I often do, for two reasons. As a reminder for those who already know about these things, including myself. And this might be new ideas for people who are new to this kind of teaching. So in order to benefit everybody, including myself, so I thought it would be nice to share those ideas.
Okay, this
is
No. So the neta,
Let us go back to where we left off in this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Padmabhagyeshi's Advices. Our great Indian master Adisha, he is giving advice to some of his great disciples at their request. And so he advises them that this is not the time to cultivate our followers and crowd and followers, but this is the time to be in solitude and do your practice, meditation. So why is Adisha saying this is, of course, Adisha is telling this, directly to them, but that is also a message to us. You know, what happens is if we spend time to cultivate, friends and followers, in the case of teachers, then you get involved in the busyness of life, not business, busyness of life. And the hectic and hustle and bustle kind of life involves the two things. You know, our body becomes very, busy in doing things, socializing with people and, you know, being in the crowd and meeting and all that. So that is the hustle and bustle kind of life. So not much time left to do practice because you have to pay, attention so much to people. And at the same time, our mind becomes very busy. So there's a hustle and bustle inside as well, in that now you have to think about so many things and, you know, to deal with the crowd and the people, and that is a distraction. And so what is really important is to find a solitude, a solitary place, and to focus on one's practice, meditation. So here, of course, in Tibetan it says Kor Yok, means to cultivate. Kor literally means followers, so which seems to be applicable more to those who are in higher status or position, particularly, teachers who might be, you know, be into cultivating students or disciples, or like people in higher status try to cultivate following big. And yoke literally means to cultivate servants. You know, people in higher status, they would like to have many people to serve them underneath. And maybe they are paid, maybe not paid, whatever the case may be. But in a modern sense, it is like maybe as you heard Geshe-la mention the word company. If you are in charge of a company, you have so many people working under you. So they are paid, no doubt, but they are, well, they are not called servants in modern sense, but they are working for you and under you. And so if one is into cultivating such a large following and staff and whatnot, then one get very busily involved in things and actions that one does not may find time to do practice. So cultivating solitude is very important, and why? That's what we need to understand. So what is the importance of being in a solitude or in a peaceful, let's say, isolated place, if you ask? As we often talk about freedom for isolation from two things. When you are in a solitude, you know, you are physically isolated from busyness of life and activities and actions, so you are not busily involved in doing something other than your practice. You know, you are not involved in social activities or in other kinds of activities. And so that means you have a less distraction in your life. So you have a freedom, if you will, or isolation from physical busyness. Then the other freedom or the isolation is from mental activities. And so when in a solitude, it is easier for one to work with one's mind and control one's mind. Because otherwise, if we are in a very busy places, our mind becomes very busy. You know, it generates so many ideas and thoughts, and so many disturbing conceptions arise in our mind that we lose the peace of mind. So if we are in a solitude, solitude helps us to retain peace of mind, because our mind gains freedom from many disturbing conceptions. At the end of the three principal paths, the wonderful text from the great master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerembuche, and he concludes that three principal texts by saying, you should find solitude and generate the power of enthusiastic perseverance, and you should advance towards fulfilling your ultimate goal.
다 그런 데 야기 인스. 그런 데 야기 있다. 거기 지가 긴도 안 된다. 그런 데 야기 있다. 아니, 따라, 다 그런 강 휴가든 참말로 안 한 저거.
And the next great Adisha, because there are three more lines and then we finish that section, Adisha advises his students, this is not a time to try to subdue or tame your students or disciples. This is the time to tame your own mind, subdue your mind.
That's the Larun and the Tigbar, Larun and the Hanul. And the Ran Mandu Yin Dugumaris. So that's a more Ran Duya to get Chamber of Kana, Jerumuchi Kanaris.
Jerumuchi also states very clearly in his Lamrim treatises, treatises on the stages of path to enlightenment, and I quote, one must tame oneself first. Without taming or subduing oneself first, one cannot tame and subdue others. So this is the same thing. First, one needs to subdue one's own mind, and then one will be able to subdue others' mind. Otherwise, if one's own mind is not tamed or subdued, how can one subdue or tame others' minds?
All right. That the Narasthavala Tsungurimatoyang, me that shape of Tamatan digging, that shape of Tamatan Joga, and he's Hindu Jugori, Hindu Duval, with salutation, human to Yamar, just Tamarazo Nangi, me, Narazo Nangi, that do see numbers.
So we must understand for whom this kind of advice is directed to or meant for. I think what Atisha says is more for us, people like us, who need to subdue our own mind first. But this state may not be applicable to highly realized holy masters and beings because they have tamed their mind so well that they really should not be staying in solitude. Maybe they should be more out in the, so to speak, public to give teachings and to benefit sentient beings. So this does not apply to them, but this applies more to people like us who first need to tame our own mind in order to help others.
No, no, that nimbadar, that is umadhi. Sigye zung with two minds, don't understand with two years. That sing mangbo ka do sa da shi, re, sing mangbo do sa sa shiya ta, sikye, sikye kwa chiva sa shi jamas, tanda la sa no tani, tanda di ene, ta gombal, ta gongya ta kechimba ki res, two res, ta gombi two res, ane ta chwe, kasi ina tsigye tanda, shiya pa tani digma, kasi shiya na ya, di pengi ya ma ta, tui di karak tu res na, rang shiya pa ta nyansu na ya ka tu res ta.
And then great Adisha advises his students that this is not a time to hold on to just the words or the terms, but this is the time to contemplate the meaning of the words. Yeah. So of course words are very important. This may serve as a reminder. But if we simply understand the words of Dharma, but if we do not meditate on the meaning of the words, then we are missing the bigger point. So understanding the words is important, but what is more important even is to contemplate and meditate on the meaning of the words.
That is human thing. Pinchu know it two minds. Pinchy parts of chum to chumney, and then there are three marries. Psyche the debit to Yinsen.
And then this section, particular section, concludes by his advice that this is not a time to move around, but this is a time to sit in one place.
The Songkhanalin, the Nyoja Jejuan, and the Tavasu Khan Chum. So you got a chum, Kawaii said, Chumby to Maris. And then, so not the naked, then Gomji actuaries canal.
So, what is Adisha telling us here is this is not the time to you know, go around, meaning, you know, go, you know, to the markets, and even if you're not going to buy anything, just go on the window shopping, look around, or go to the beaches and just, you know, look around. This is not time for that, but this is the time to sit in a place and do our practice.
Lega ke medicine ta tingo ki bas pa se ta ta tring ding ro kun sam e pe ka pat chi chi ani ke ji chang chi ke ni e dia de se ma res ta sa so se de se ma yang wis de ne ani che do ya ki res ga na ta.
So you know what it means for us is that when we are day off from our work, then we feel like, okay, I need to go and visit my friends or hang out with people I know, and then go to their places, and then we just, you know, spend our all time gossiping and things like that. And this is not time for that, but this is the time to make time for our own practice, sit down and do our practice. I think what we are really doing is, in some ways, is an irony said. Now, for us, it is like this. Almost we are telling us that this is not the time to do practice or meditation. This is the time to go around.
That be the losori. I'm getting him. I'm just going to get it. Yes, he is. He can't handle it.
So, you know, we seem to be doing just the opposite of all the things Adisha is advising, you know. So, instead of saying this is the time to sit and meditate, but not to go around, we are saying, well, this is the time to go around, not to sit and meditate, you know. And instead of, like, you know, being in a solitude and do practice, but we said this is the time to go around and mix in the crowd and, you know, cultivate more friends and, you know, do stuff. And others is just, you know, telling us just opposites of what we are doing, and you know, we may be thinking.
Modak dimi chole, ya jo. Ek tangi din rog san, kuno dimi tan garva. Ani ya lanche dimi chole mare ngonde si chinche. Ani mera tan si tanda chani mera ta juki.
Yeah, we often might find ourselves in a very, you know, kind of irony situation. Like we have so much time sometimes that, you know, we go and try, you know, spend a little bit of time even trying to find our car keys because we don't know where we left it. So we find it, then we just sit in the car and we start and we're just on the road. And then often we realize that we are not going anywhere. Just, you know, moving around and then, you know, spend some time just doing nothing and then come back.
Wait a minute, where I to go? Okay, that ring you have shown some of the gauges show. And then that you talk, can't you get to that thing? When you mend them to my gun, I get to the same of Galveries.
So I think we had a lot of fun today, just we have a lot of laughters, and but the important thing is don't forget the key points that I was, you know, explaining to you before, and we will stop there today.
Honest.
And yeah, I think any, you know, emailed some prayer requests, I think they are stuck in the cyberspace. They didn't land down on my laptop yet. So anyway, think about the people, you know, who always need prayers, so be prayerful.
Yeah, I think it's like a person, Kathy, named Kathy, she's 79 or something, she passed away, and also including that,
So Kishara already said one name, and he said there are other people, you know, we may not have received their names, but we are sure that people, many people have passed away, and many people are suffering from sickness and other kinds of problems. So we really think about all of them and, you know, say some prayers for their benefit.
Yes. I don't know. ola da tren ngara su chu ni che bi gi zo la teni san ji tem ro bo ji ta ji yin zo ne ba hyu ne zo yin no bi che bi tin si bi ta ma no chi bu che bi tem ba da tu ji yin do zo bi me si du yong an ne chu ji chu du ki ge zo bu ma no chu ni cha wa ne zo den zo ba da an ji tin ji kam de da yin de me ti bi zo zo da xie ni tu ji yin zo da na me si du yong an hyu
Coming together this morning and participating in the teaching, we have accumulated merit, and we dedicate our merit for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. By the power of our collective merit, may His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective merit for all kinds mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state soon.
Hey, go on.